This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Guardian Radio today is brought to you by Alive, Bahamas Welding and Fire, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Popeyes, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Welcome, welcome to another edition of Guardian Radio today. This is the September 23rd edition. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. It is my pleasure to be here with you on a relatively warm day. I pray that everybody is staying as dry as you can whenever we do have these showers. And I pray that you're generally speaking. Today, we continue our conversation with our dear brother, Dr. Rudolph Tinker. If you missed our show, I think it was not last week, but the week before, we had a riveting conversation on rum shop politics. And today is going to be, the second edition of that show. For those of you who don't know Dr. Tinker, he has an extensive background in law, construction, and we are very happy to have him back on the show today. Before I bring him on, I just want to make sure that because he gave me a really interesting, when he said rum shop politics initially, that just kind of really grabbed my attention. So that's kind of these discussions. But this second edition is post-independence, Westminster politarianism and cult political parties in the Bahamas. I know that's a mouthful, right? Post-independence, Westminster parliamentarianism and cult political parties in the Bahamas. Let me just give you the motivation behind why I personally want to have these conversations. I think that we spend copious amounts of time calling into radio talk shows or talking in the rum shop, but we don't really place accountability on ourselves. We don't really talk about the things that we have control of. We are the electorate. We are the government, but we love to pass the buck. We love to kick the can down the road. We love to not do what is necessary to actually get this country where it could be, all right? And so that's my motivation, all right, in having these types of conversations. But Dr. Tinker, are you there with us? Can you hear us? Make sure your mic isn't muted. Yeah. All right, let's give him a second to get his end of the transmission in order. But okay, I think I hear him starting to come through. you gotta raise his volume, I think. You got him good? I got him low. Let me just make sure my headphone is good. Go ahead, Dr. Tinker.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but he's low. So that's on his end, Kermit? Yeah, the producer is saying it's low on your end. We have you up.
All right, let me turn it up a little more. I'm at max.
Okay, that's good. Whatever you did just now, that worked. Yes.
Well, Kermit's still there. Kermit's been there forever.
Yeah, man. Me and Kermit, we don't go far from each other, We've been there from Mr. Carter days, and he was there before me. You know what I mean? Yeah, man. So how you doing, my brother?
Doing good, man. Just watching the world.
Yeah, it's a lot going on in the world today, and I'm sure the conversation is going to lead us in many different directions. But we started this conversation about rum shop politics. I got a good response from the shows or from the show that we did. And I think it's a good idea to continue the conversation. But today we want to talk about this idea of post-independence, Westminster parliamentarianism, and cult political parties in the Bahamas. I just wanted, let's break down the title of this show first, so we have, so people know what we're talking about.
Okay, well, first, let me just say, well, I just, well,
you're coming in and out, so I think your mic, I don't know if you got to hold it straight to your mouth.
Can you hear me now? Okay, well, listen, I just want to say, all right, I think that's on pretty good. Let's see, let me just double check something. All right, good. I think we're in there. We're in the matrix now.
Yeah.
You hear me good, right?
Yeah, you're good now, yeah.
All right, very good, very good. Well, I want to say, you know, hello to the Bahamas and hope everyone a very good day. And I just want to say that it's a privilege for me to sit in this, join this call and be able to share a little bit of information with my fellow comrades.
Yeah, man.
And if you do have the opportunity to call the show today, you know, listen, you can hit me from any angle, ask me any questions, but productively, you know, productively.
Yeah, just keep it respectful.
I don't lean to any side, any political party side, so doesn't make sense you attacking me from any one side, because I'm gonna smash it. So just have the free liberty to call me in. I mean, call into the show and express whatever question you have. But when we look at this question, right, this is a big question, because many Bahamians know that we live in such system, but they call it Westminster, right? Which is Westminster system, which basically, I call it basically a step down from the monarch.
Mm.
Okay, because when you look at an absolute monarch, the King of England had absolute power up until the Magna Carta, when the taxpayers said, "Listen, you have a little bit too much power here, and we're tired paying taxes to pay for your war. So therefore, we're going to chop your head off unless you sign this document, and we create a different system." And that's where this politicum.
Okay.
It's where basically is an extension of the king. So if you understand the absolute authority the king had, well, the prime minister is in that same boat like we looked at the last time.
Yes, yes.
Where this type of system is literally a direct democracy. And what a direct is that, what that means is that you directly select people that you want to represent you. Okay, when you go and you cast that vote, you're directly casting a vote so someone could represent you and make laws and rules for your life and your kids' life. Direct democracy. But the difference between this parliamentarianism and U.S. republicanism and their direct democracy is the fact that in this system, the prime minister wields much more authority than a U.S. president.
Right.
You know, he wields tons of authority, and he can do a lot of things without all the red tape of a U.S. Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this system, the prime minister controls, he controls parliament.
Right.
He controls cabinet. He literally also controls the judicial system to a point. And he's also the executive. Something called parliamentary sovereignty, which means whatever parliament does, it's sovereign. No one could object to that.
Right.
Not even the judicial branch, which is very different from the Republican type system in the U.S., where there's a little more checks and balance in place. But we see the current president right now, he's actually testing the fabrication of that. Independence.
Big time.
You know, so the Bahamas is unique in the fact that this Westminster system, which derived from England, but the unique thing is that the prime minister has tons of authority to get things done. So he could never tell you his hands is tied or he's in a gridlock.
Right.
The only time his hands could be possibly tied is because of people with the money, the oligarchs, that are petitioning the prime minister to do certain things or not to do certain things. That's the only time his hands could be tied. But
right.
Other than that, he could practically do anything he wants to do in this particular system. And I mean anything.
Wow.
With no checks. except if the people decide to say, hey, you know what? We can call a referendum on this guy and we can come to the streets and we can check him out, which we haven't. We saw some display about, maybe what, 7-8 years ago, I think it's called the We March.
Yeah, We March.
Like
yep.
The We March. We saw that still wasn't so strong that it shook the authority of the prime minister.
Yeah, I think I think it may have been headed that way, but then it went south quickly.
Yeah, you got the political parties recruited them real quick and it went south.
Yeah, quickly.
And then the other part of the topic was this thing of political party, this cult-like organization, where political parties in post-colonial countries and post-colonial countries post to the United Kingdom, they're very cult-like. Not even in the UK are these parties so cultic.
Wow.
Because you've got to remember that the United Kingdom gave everybody a constitution and then it gave themselves one.
Right.
Go forth with this and create your country. Well, we're not going to do that.
No,
we're not going to do
that's
business.
For y'all. That's for you.
That's for y'all. That's for you. You know, so when people tend to join these parties, and listen, parties are quite important, because what parties do, parties can have people identify with a cause and identify with an ideology. But when the party becomes bigger than the person, that's what. And when the party becomes more ideological than the country the party's supposed to serve, that's where we have problem. And I see these tendencies in the Bahamas where the party is so superior. The party is so superior that it actually shuts people's mouth down.
Yeah.
It muzzles them.
Right.
They got to hide their colors.
Which leads me into my first question, right? And you could correct me if I'm wrong with some of these questions. I just compiled some questions I wanted to throw at you. And I just want to make sure, first of all, that, you know, as I ask the questions, that I'm making sense. And go from there, right? But this idea of, in our elections, we have a winner takes all nature in this Westminster, this electoral system. It's a winner takes all system, right? First of all, is that's correct, right? Once the party who has the most seats wins, they basically, you know, they run the show. We've had these lopsided victories for the past however many elections, correct?
Right, because right. It's 50 plus one. So
50 plus 50 one,
plus
right.
One, 50 plus one system, that political group can practically do everything they want. They really don't need the other side at all.
Right. And then on top of that, we don't really, you just said it earlier, so we're not really voting for the leader. Like, that's happening party itself.
Right.
Right? So they ultimately decide who is going to ultimately be who's going to represent us. We don't choose our representative. Unless you are in a political party and you actually can vote in the party, you're just waiting to hear who they're going to send your way. Ultimately,
waiting to hear who's going to send your way, and also in a sense, writing the manifesto that the public really doesn't play too much a role in. I mean, they might take a little consensus from the public here and there, but that manifesto is written internally on what they think the direction of the country must go into, not
right.
what the people want.
Right. So it's almost like, do we as the electorate really have a voice? If I choose not to be a card-carrying member of any political party, am I even involved in this process?
You're like an alien, basically.
Wow.
You're a sideliner. And you get to watch the show, the pomp and pantry. You know what I mean? You're a sideliner. So the way these things are written up, you know, I look at it and I say to myself, do they so because we won the election? Okay, you wrote a manifesto, you put it out there, and you tell the people, well, this is what we're going to run with, and you got to agree if you're going to like this or not.
Mm-hmm.
And the 50 plus one wins, and they go and they run the government. And in many cases, the manifesto, they don't even make it through the entire thing.
No, they don't. No.
we can do the next five. You know, we got about 20 things on the list. We can do two of them, and we can work me in again, and I'll do it.
They'll tell you up front, man, we need at least 10 years. We can't do this in 5 years. We need at least 10 years. Let me get my pension straight. You know what I mean?
Which raised the question of so many legacy issues that has been from from administrator to administration, mm-hmm. and it just keeps dragging on, like land reform. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been talking to that since
King Hama was Archer.
So, right, or Jesus was a baby.
Right, right. In the manger.
In the manger. With no electricity.
Right.
You know, so it's these things where the people get caught in the middle.
Right.
And where each party continues to blame each other for review and cancel situations.
Yeah.
And that's, no continuous government.
Yeah. That's like the closest thing we get to accountability is, well, y'all did it.
Exactly.
Y'all did it.
Exactly. Exactly. So which is very dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
If someone in one group did something wrong, the other side can say, well, y'all did it, so don't complain about this now when it's adamantly wrong.
Right. We know it.
Y'all did it.
Yeah. Yeah. So this lopsided, obviously we can't control that because, like you say, it's 50 plus one. But the fact that we don't have the type of split like we did during majority rule day, right? A very close split. And all it would take is for one or two members of the opposition to just, you know, vote another way for things to shake up. Like, we don't have that happening. Right, we've been voting out governments more than voting in the past few election cycles. You know what I mean? Like, even right now, you hear people talking, and the funny thing is, right after the BLP won, people was practicing. Brave gotta go. Just practicing. They say they just the week of, right? Because that's just our political culture. But I remember someone making a joke about it the week after the election, when the PLP won, and it leads to this idea of a personality cult, right? So we don't talk policy, we don't talk about the manifestos and any real great, not in the rum shop politics. Let me say it that way. We may talk about it on air a little bit, but rarely have I, you know, been a fly on the wall and heard people really referencing the manifesto and saying, you know, they did about 30%, but they really far from reaching any of their goals in this manifesto. It seems to be a personality cult right off the bat, right? And once we're in that conundrum of a personality cult, where does that leave us as the electorate? I mean, what?
You get caught up in the music, man. You really get, you know, when you go fanfares and these rallies, they call them, and you see these people, these future leaders of your country on the stage shaking their behind and disputing things from the Bible. I mean, you should be sitting back and say, my God, we're in trouble.
Right.
We're in trouble. I mean, this is what you got.
Right.
You know, this is what you got. You screaming and jumping up and down and like you're junkanooing all across the stage. To me, it's a really thing that's insane. You need more than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring me more than that. You know, you're talking about representing me, representing this country, taking this country into the next era of the world, providing a safe haven for your kids and your future generation. And this is what you're coming to the table with.
Right. Right. So with that idea of this savior-like image that these politicians like to bring to the table, like you say, God send me here, even, right? God put me here, right? Right? In the Bahamian Constitution, right, it provides for a vote of no confidence to restrain a prime minister's power. Is that true, first of all? Is the vote of no confidence to restrain a prime minister's power, is that there?
The vote of no confidence could come directly from members in parliament.
Okay.
Or in the political party to vote a no confidence from elected members, and also within some of the political parties themselves, they have a way to remove. They should or might have a way to remove the leader. The leader of the party, but within. And I think they did it, and we saw this acted out when Dr. Minnis was leader of the opposition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They had enough votes to get rid of him as leader of the opposition,
mm-hmm.
and they brought Loretta Butler Turner as leader of the... Okay, but she was a leader of the FNM.
No. No, that's something. Yes, that's very true.
So she was leader of the opposition, but not leader of the FNM. You know?
Wow.
So, but the problem is, when you look, now it does happen because just recently, you know, it happened, I mean, it happened multiple times in England within the last years. But okay. The problem is, in these small nation states, the reason that you wouldn't see it happen so often is because, remember, I told you that that king-like power that mm-hmm. prime minister has.
Mm-hmm.
If you attempt a vote of no confidence and it doesn't pass, well, guess what's going to happen? He's firing everybody.
Yeah. Rightfully so, I guess.
Yeah. You got to give up that car, that 100,000.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
okay.
So they can say to themselves, man, look here, this is too much.
Yeah.
This is too much to give up.
Yeah.
This car, my new office, and I'm a minister of the Bahamian government.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I can take that chance for these easy head people, man. Yeah. I can take that chance.
Yeah.
So we saw it played out with I mean, publicly. I don't know, you know, as a lawyer, you know, Jerome Fitzgerald was a lawyer. You know, if he slipped when he said that, I could not act or do what I wanted to do, because if I did, I would lose my job.
Which so, you know, and that frustrates me as the electorate, because we put a lot when it was a Travis Robinson. He voted
Travis
against
Robinson,
he voted against the VOT. He said, no man, my people don't want that.
Right.
And immediately he got rewarded with losing his cabinet post and I guess becoming a backbencher, if you will. But yeah, one just him.
Yeah.
I only
three of them.
He it was so it struck me so much with him, because he being the youngest member in that cabinet, he to me represented a new spirit or a new energy that was saying, I don't want to just toe the line. I want to speak for my people. And so what go ahead.
And he saw how fast he got roped in.
Yes. And I saw it. You understand? Because I was like, okay, hold on. So don't work like that. You don't get to go speak for your people.
No.
323-622-3235-4316, 325-4259 in the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Of course, Guardian Radio text line is powered by BTC at 422-4796. Let's run to this caller here on Guardian Radio today. Our special guest today, Dr. Tinker and About Politics, the second edition. Caller, you're live.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hey, yeah, man, good. You know, a vote of no confidence, you know, assumes there is some kind of a moral framework. Okay. Now, Travis was just young enough to still have a moral framework.
Yeah.
You know, he probably had the answer to his parents.
Mm. Wow.
Kind of that. Okay.
Mm.
But when Dr. Tinker was speaking, man, I remember the story I heard about this old man who spent all his life on the plantation.
Mm.
You know, we are in a plantation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, it's like a neo-colonial framework.
Yeah,
basically. Okay.
Yeah,
and the old man had a story.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "I've been watching these fellows come and go for most of my life."
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one constant I see among my people. It's four things they do.
Mm-hmm.
They sing, they dance, they jump, and they die. That's all they do. And you know, if we look at our political if you look at our political rallies every year,
mm-hmm.
sing, dance, jump.
Yeah.
You know. So you know, I think anyway, I appreciate all that Dr. I appreciate all that Dr. Dick is saying, man. I appreciate all of this, buddy.
That's right,
right, man.
About
this
little
I think. You know, a younger generation
mm-hmm.
needs to be exposed to this 52 plus year span of history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until you understand what is going on, what has been going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're still in this framework, only certain things come out of a framework.
Yeah.
You know, our tools of democracy actually have a socialism
component.
A strong socialist component.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong. And you know, as far as I'm saying, this is what makes America so great. It's not controlled by the majority of people.
Well, they got an electoral college, so
that's right. Equal, and each time a certain group, each time historically,
mm-hmm.
each time a certain group loses in America, the only thing that comes out of their mouth is the fact that they won the popular vote. Everybody, man.
I appreciate you, my brother.
Stay good, buddy.
Yeah, man. Give thanks.
All
right. Yeah, Dr. Tinker. So he led me into a kind of a segue into this idea of charisma over intellect. This lack of intellectualism in national discourse.
It's very interesting because, I mean, you could see in many cases how some of these ministers and parliamentarians talk within the parliament or talk within the Senate, mm-hmm. and just hear the words that come out of their mouth. If you move that piece of paper from in front of them, they would be lost.
Yeah.
Some of them don't understand what they're saying.
Are they dancing? They finding some reason to dance. You know what I mean? Like that's so, what we.
So just for the callers, you know, because we mentioned, you know, your question was, you know, is it in the Constitution?
Yeah, the voter no confidence.
Mm-hmm. The voter confidence, it's there. And if they want to look it up, just tell them, you know, look up the document and they can go in the article 73. And it's very clear the procedures to call a vote of not confidence. And basically, just like we heard Fitzgerald said, he would have to resign. But if a vote of no confidence would be struck in the system, then that calls for the resignation of the prime minister and his entire team.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Where the governor general would strike, you know, they would call new elections.
Right.
And if the prime minister wins again, then he goes back. But if he loses, then the new person comes in.
Right. Let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Caller, you're live.
Good afternoon, Ramon, who and to your guest.
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
I'm very, very pleased that you have such an astute guest on today. Excellent. I have a question for the guest.
Sure.
Which I believe is brother
Dr. Tinker
from the University of Bahamas.
No. That's the other guy. That's the other guy.
Okay, brother Tinker. Okay.
It's the other astute one.
So here's my question. We all desire, and I'm going to express my views for the Bahamian public. I believe we all desire to see the level of politicians and persons engaged in politics, not that they're not really intelligent and smart people, I believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
The question I have is, why do you believe, and if there is not enough agitation from us, the voting public, to see political discourse before elections? And I mean, like they do in Jamaica, mm-hmm. like they do in Barbados, and like they do in the great North America, where every constituency have a debate with those who wish to run. They call it primaries, but forget all that. Just debate. Why do you believe the public does not agitate for that, even though I believe that's what we truly desire to see our politics rise to?
Mm. Dr. Tinker?
All right, well, I'll take a stab at that. It's because, like I mentioned in the last show, is that, you know, you only can agitate for what you think makes sense to you.
Mm.
And if you don't understand how the system works, what are you going to agitate about?
Hmm.
You know, why would you call for a debate? You know, you say, well,
mm-hmm.
I want my roof fixed. Wow. I want my son to get on the defense force.
Wow.
I want a government job.
Mm.
I got bills to pay right now. You think I got time to come sit down and watch a bunch of people talk nonsense?
Mm.
Not saying this is the talk of the entire country now.
No,
but
I agree.
If you don't If you don't understand how the system works and how the system would benefit you if it works according to something known as popular sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Popular sovereignty basically means the power rests with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how democracies are born, through this this notion of popular sovereignty,
mm-hmm.
will of the people. So, but the will of the, but the people must understand how they can keep their government in check.
See, that's, you know? That's for me the important part of these discussions. You right. know? Sorry,
if,
go ahead.
If you don't know how, if you don't know how to do that, I mean, then what could I possibly ask you? You know, how many times the Bahamian people have asked crown land reform,
mm-hmm.
Agriculture reform,
mm-hmm.
a land registry,
Freedom of Information Act.
Freedom of Information
mm-hmm.
Act.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lower prices at the pump. Lower mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. Get rid of. You keep asking. They keep dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't get anywhere. The problem with that.
And that's the frustration. That's why we just get down there. You know, just fix my roof, man.
Just fix my roof, man, and give me a government job. Yeah. Talking nonsense, because you can go there for 5 years anyhow,
yeah,
and you ain't gonna do almost anything on the manifesto. So, you know, but if that generation that's coming out of a primary school, junior school, and high school knows how this thing works,
mm-hmm.
you have now a literate group of people.
Yeah.
Keep your money for your roof and keep your government job. I get my own. But mm-hmm. you need to do this if you want my vote.
Right. Right.
See, that's where the power lies. And people that have solidarity in what they believe in, and they get swing or swindle with a whole bunch of things in a manifesto.
Yes. Yes. Let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Caller, you're live.
And me?
Yes, go ahead, my brother.
Godly days. Just stopping right along with you and your guest, brother Uncle.
How you doing, Elder? You all right?
I'm right here. I'm right here trying to keep my sanity together.
Yes.
Because these people
please,
are
please do
the
that.
Problem.
Please do that. Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. But what I want to ask you, right, and see our gentleman, who in the House of Assembly today that you all would say displaying charisma?
Who in let me let Dr. Tinker jump in it, and I'll say what I have to say.
Okay, I'm on hold.
He broke right up. Can you
he's asking who in the House of Parliament, today would we say is displaying charisma?
I mean, I would say charisma in what way? Because charisma is not really a. Charisma could be positive or negative. What type of charisma is he asking about? You can attack it, and then I'll come in after.
Mm-hmm.
Positive. What most people would agree with.
Let me give you an example. When we see our prime minister dancing, they could pull up a bunch of clips of him dancing, right? And I've seen this from other political figures where they have to find a way to dance. They have to find whether it's on the political stage or whether they're at an event, right? This idea that, boy, I could dance. I could move. You know, I could do what the Bahamian people do, right? That's a form of, yeah.
So you're talking about something like that. Okay,
yeah.
Well, I mean.
Playing up to the sensibilities of the people.
Right. Well, I think Brave Davis is very good at that. As he go amongst the country and he shake the cowbells and he
right, do those things,
stepper and right. you know, hug and kiss kids and play in the rape scrape drum and all these different things. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. but you know that charisma is fine. But what is that doing for you?
Right.
You know, keep listen. I'm a realist. Mm-hmm. Realist basically gets to the point. Keep all of that. Give me my street lights.
Right.
Make the place safe.
Mm-hmm.
Give me good health care.
Mm-hmm.
Country function and keep my taxes down. I don't need all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's no, the charisma is not stated in the Bahamian Constitution as a requirement act of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mention that in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't need
point
all
blank.
Of that.
Point blank. Point blank. Let's go back to the next call. Let's go run back to the lines here on Guardian Radio today. Call your life.
Uncle, good afternoon, Professor Tinker.
Good afternoon.
Two
very quick points here.
Yeah.
Firstly, something very, very important that the guest has mentioned, and that is, and Uncle, you asked a question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any national debate is going to make a hell of a difference here in this country, because our people are already indoctrinated into their side of politics.
Mm.
You know, and it is so sad to say that, because over the years, watching the way how our people, they're not thinking about national issues in the terms that we are critical about, and we are analytical about what is being presented to us, and we are speaking out to it.
Mm.
But once these persons have already attached and affirmed themselves to these individual political parties, you could have all the beats you want.
Mm-hmm.
They're already steeped into their party. It's not going to...
Right.
It is good to hear the views of these persons who are putting themselves forward for political office, so at least you get an idea of their thought and their thought processes. But when they are serving under the pleasure of the leader or the prime minister, their thought doesn't make a hell of a beans to anybody. This is one of the reasons why we wonder whether... true democracy, or whether democracy in this country is really true. Because if you cannot speak your mind as a representative of me in my constituency with free rein, then it simply means that you representing me is not going to be as effective as I would think on this is. You talk about policies. From our grandmother's and grandfather's time, we've been talking about the things that negatively impact this country. And it still continues today, even in our generation now. And yet, we have no true statesman, and that's statesperson or stateswoman, who care about this country first over party. That is not going to happen. We've seen it. It's happening now in front of us. The more we talk about it, it gets us nowhere. So, in my closing remark here then, if these two things are what we can acknowledge is in play today, let me tell you something. It's going to take an entirely different generation who have not been steeped in the party politics, which is highly unlikely, because these little children are being, or the teenagers coming up today, whether P's or FNMs, if they're not free thinkers and cannot discern for themselves what is right and what is wrong, we are going to continue perpetuating the same nonsense that we have going today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this country is not moving in the manner that many of us would wish that this country would progress forward, upward, and onward in prosperity.
Amen.
Thanks
together.
For taking my call, and let's continue to keep our eyes and ears open.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I mean, very good point there, and to add to what he's saying, don't wait for the political parties to change this.
Right.
It's in their best interest to keep this ship sailing in that direction.
The status quo works for them. It works
exactly,
for
they can change that.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to change it. And then to hammer further onto my point, he's saying, you know, they're not free thinkers. If you give them and you teach them about this stuff through their high school and middle school, it will be born.
Yeah.
Within them.
That's true.
But if you wait until they graduate, man, they ain't into that.
No, they ain't got no roof, and they want their roof fixed. All right, let's run to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Gwala, you're live. Go ahead, Gwala.
Yes, good afternoon, Uncle. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Tinker.
Yes, nice.
How you doing, Professor Tinker?
Good, man. How are you?
Man, I'm okay. Hey, Professor.
My
question to you today, because we have some people roaming about claiming to be Professor, right? What is the criteria for one to become a professor?
Well, I mean, you could, if you want to teach at the community college, you need a minimum of a master's, and if you want to teach at the university level, you need a minimum of a PhD, but most importantly, you got to get hired.
Right.
So that means if you don't have a master's degree, and on the other item you spoke about, that means you're not a professor, right?
No,
you can't be a professor unless you have a master's degree, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, there was an individual called you last week, right? Claiming to be a professor, right? Right? He called you about the Constitution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he felt contrary to what you were saying, right? And, but the thing about it is that you are actually a professor, right? This individual, he always talk about, he got to mention his five names, professor or preacher, right? Right? And, you know, all this, he discredited you. You know, like, you don't know what you're saying, but he knows everything about a constitution, like a constitutional god. To me, he's a constitutional demon, okay? And he needs to get off the airways because he speaks about the Constitution, freedom of speech, freedom of thought. Freedom. Mm-hmm. This man, he don't allow you to even speak. He hangs up the phone. He's a piece of you-know-what that comes out of the anus. Enjoy your day.
All right, well, he got some things off his chest.
Yeah, he did.
You know, so Professor Tinker, this idea of the dissident eight, right? 1971, right? We have this groupie who are basically having the same conversation we seem to be having in these shows, right? In that time, right? In my notes I have here, where Sir Cecil Wallace Whitfield, who was a key figure in the PLP, accused exercising a growing culture of dictatorship by not allowing persons to freely express their thoughts. So this is nothing new. This is before I born, right? I born in 77, right? This 71, right? They were having leadership disputes. Wallace Whitfield's resignation speech at the PLP convention in 1970, as he ended a speech with free at last, my soul is dancing, signifying his break with the party. And then they had policy disagreements. The dissident eight likely had policy differences with the PLP or those specific details. Specific details in this site that I pulled up, right? But this seems to be a cage, a prison. Because you could go into politics with the best intentions, Professor Tinker. You could say, boy, when I go in there, I always go back to Travis Robinson, because I think Travis Robinson, he wanted to go speak for his people. But that system says, no, you ain't doing that.
You hit the nail on the head, that dissident eight. And when you look at the first crew of guys, like we mentioned in the last show, they went, many of them would have went abroad, mm-hmm. to learn and understand how you can hold the government feet to the fire.
Right.
Dylan was a lawyer. Cecilus Watfield was a lawyer. And they all went to England,
mm-hmm.
to study legal studies. And through studying that legal studies, they were called to the British bar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to be able to be called to the British bar, right,
mm-hmm.
you have to be able to know all seven main parts of the law,
mm-hmm.
and be able to articulate that, be able to dance it, be able to represent it.
Mm-hmm.
So when these guys would have came back home, okay, they would have came back home. The first Prime Minister, Pilden, started, obviously you had the PLP moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
He won the first election, very smart, and he knew how to tinker with the law and tinker with this new government structure so he can remain at the seat of authority for a long time.
Ah, so when we come,
then you have other learned people to say, hold on, man, this wasn't the idea that we had
exactly.
initially. We wanted more freedom of this, freedom of that, and we wanted all these other things. Now you're trying to muzzle me?
Right. So when we come back, right, I want to talk about any specific constitutional or electoral reforms needed to curb this centralization of power around the leaders. How can we, if we don't even know what to agitate for, we definitely ain't agitate for it. But I wanna know, what should we be agitating for from the position or the stance of the voters when we come back? Yes, indeed. Keep it locked here on 96.9 Guardian Radio with Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III and our special guest, Dr. Rudolph Tinker. We'll be back right after this.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Summer lasts forever at BWF. Beat the heat with unbelievable prices. Up to 50% off tent sales Saturday, September 27th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Deals, deals, and more deals. Red hot prices and cool buys. Brighten this season with huge savings. Up to 50% off tent sales Saturday, September 27th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Savings includes fans, coolers, grills and griddles, kitchen and outdoor cooking supplies, lawn and garden supplies, household supplies, and much more. Shop now and save with BWF new store hours Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. BWF, we are more than just our name. Check out on Facebook and like our page to keep up to date with more exciting bargains. BWF, we ship to the Family Islands. Telephone 394-0004 or 6.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Popeyes brings you Bold Louisiana Crunch, our hand-breaded chicken flour tortilla with lettuce, cheese, and pickles. Available in three bold flavors, classic, spicy, and honey mustard. Our new wraps prove that big flavors come in small packages. Try the new chicken wrap today, available for a limited time only.
Great Commission's Ministries is God's storehouse. They have been caring for the poor, homeless, and hurting since 1987. You are invited to support their Stop and Drop program by dropping off some food items in their barrels and some cash in their bottles. You can donate an offering each month tithes online to Great Commission through the Givelify or SunCash apps. Help them to shelter the homeless, feed the hungry, and spread the gospel of Christ. Volunteer your service and support the Live to Give program. Call Great Commission Ministries, God's Storehouse, at 325-5801 for further information or stop by the office on Wolf Road. Be blessed.
You try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio today with your host, Dr. Cleared, also known as Kahun Ankusara. A special guest today, Dr. Rudy Tinker. And we're talking Rumshaw Politics, the second edition. And this second edition is about post-independence, Westminster parliamentarianism, and cult political parties in the Bahamas. That's a mouthful. But we've been having a great conversation. And, of course, you can join us in the conversation at 323-6232 or 325-432-5429 and in the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720. Our text lines powered by BTC 422-4796. Of course, we are streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com. We're also on Cable Bahamas 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612. Dr. Tinker, we as a nation, we need to know what it's aiming for. Things cannot remain the same if we want change. So we have to look for specific constitutional or electoral reforms to curb the centralization of power or to curb the status quo. What ideas do you have that may help point us in the right direction?
So when you look at
So England gave the Bahamas a constitution, mm-hmm. which it's a codified document. When you say codified, it's written down, whereas the United Kingdom is uncodified. Mm-hmm. None of their policies are in one place. It's kind of scattered all over the place because it was ruled by various kings over the years.
Okay.
Over the centuries, I would say. Mm-hmm. And we could look at the Bahamas and we could say, okay, how could we structure this system a little bit better, where that popular sovereignty really means popular sovereignty?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first places I would really start, now we saw what they did in Barbados and Trinidad, mm-hmm. which they switched to a Republican system,
right,
to the head of state. You know, that's one way to go, but you could still, in a way, tinker in the Westminster system and make some change. One of the biggest thing, I think, when you go to the Bahamian Constitution, you have this thing called separation of power.
Right.
You heard of this before.
Yeah, we just was talking about that. I'm glad you brought that back up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So separation of power. Mm-hmm. Now, separation of power basically means all three branches of government are different in what they do.
Mm-hmm.
The executive enforces the law, the judicial branch interprets the law, and the legislature makes the law.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is in the Bahamas is that you have a fusion of power among these three because of the prime minister.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I say that fusion of power is that the prime minister with the fifth legislature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He controls the judicial branch because he appoints all the justices to the Supreme Court, and he can recall them.
Wow.
Nor, there's no oversight to say, I want Johnny, and Johnny has to get ratified.
Right, and that can be done is what you're saying. We can put that.
That can be done here, yeah, man.
My Lord.
Now, let me clear this up for people like Professor Thompson would argue. Mm. No, it's strict.
Right.
So the prime minister selects his justice, his judge. On confirmation or talks with the governor general. But I want you to know the governor general has no authority whatsoever.
Right.
Has no authority whatsoever. So he could pick Ankou Sara. Tomorrow you're the Chief Justice. The Governor General, all she can do is sign that paper and swear you in. That's it.
Wow.
There's no objection. So when we look at that one example of separation of power, it's a fusion of power. Now, let me give you the same example in a different jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
When we look towards the U.S. model,
mm-hmm.
there's a strict separation of power,
mm-hmm.
where the president is not in the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
He only appoints judges that have to be ratified through a judicial committee.
Right.
And they vote on a 51-plus system to approve him or not. Now, as we've seen under President Trump recently, he has... The Republican has the majority of the seats,
mm-hmm.
in the Congress,
mm-hmm.
in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he can get them through. But in some cases, all your teams don't vote for you.
Right.
And in many cases, a lot of appointments are rejected,
mm-hmm.
because they can't make it through the muscle.
Right.
So this separation of power is very important to democracy, and it helps the power stays in the hands of the people, because this one part of the government works. As a prime minister, you can't be a legislature.
Mm.
Your job is to enforce the law.
Mm-hmm.
Legislative branch, your job is to make laws.
Mm-hmm.
Judicial branch, your job is to interpret the law that came from the legislature, approved by the prime minister. But let's take a look at this policy. Does this policy make sense? Is this policy constitutional?
Right.
If it's not constitutional, then the judicial branch has the power to reject it.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot be done in the Westminster parliamentarianism system. Even in the UK, there's something called parliamentary sovereignty, which means any law that parliaments pass, it's the law.
without any interpretation from the judicial branch. Because the judicial branch have no oversight at all. And any judge in the Bahamas or any lawyer could call the show and say something else. No, and we'll go to bat.
We got the phone lines are lit up now. Let's run to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio. Let's see who this is.
Let's see who this is. It's former Chief Justice.
Right. Go ahead, caller, you're live.
Yes, sir. This is in MacArthur, right? But you know, yeah. Let me go back to one of your callers. One of your callers said that this is a plantation we live in. Mm-hmm. But he got to remember in a plantation that there was house slaves and there were field slaves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the field slaves, the house slaves, it's the rich people, the rich people among us, mm-hmm. natives or Bahamians, and the politicians, they the field slaves and them. They the pimps, mm. not the next word.
Mm.
Them and their cronies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you see, people talk about debate. You can't ask for debate. The media can't ask for debate when they don't want to debate themselves. Because they and for me, 89% of them are out of fees as a house slaves.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you know that you ask the question: what should we advocate for?
Mm-hmm.
You know. I would advocate for a livable wage, you okay. know, for the poor people. You know, they would still be poor, but they should be able to live, mm. right? And you see, this tripartite thing, right? How could you say you're going to counsel for livable wage, and the people who have this, who need this livable wage, is not unionized? You understand what I'm saying?
So
that's a farce right there.
Mm.
Mm. You see? So what we have here, right, in the Bahamas is we live in a society, you know, neoliberal society.
A neoliberal, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. You see? Mm. And you have some people who call the stations and talk, but they are, they're conservative. You know, they're conservatives and they support Donald Trump.
Mm. You know, socially conservative. We are socially conservative.
Conservative, what they mean is they don't believe in gay rights.
That's what I'm saying. We are socially conservative, but that's not what conservatism.
And what they do is they would support people who take away their interests.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to fairness and democracy in our nation, you see, it's not democracy.
Mm-hmm.
The electoral system, we have constituencies where there are 1,200 voters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some where there are 5,000, 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now, make that make sense. And you have judges on this,
Boundary Commission?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're talking.
They don't want to dress them set where these people get 1,200 voters. Come on, man.
But they say they're dealing with some stuff right now. We can see what happens.
They're not dealing with that.
I'm telling you what's on the ground. I'm telling you what's on the ground, my brother. But I appreciate you.
But make sure, see, we got to advocate for them to deal with them, mm-hmm. Mike Kyle and Rump Cat Island and Rumpy and them. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They need to deal with them. They need to come together and marginate. Don't tell me but these people far. Because we won't, you know what I mean? They by no distance.
Today, so Dr. Tinker, he said we should agitate for fair pay, I think he said. What's your thoughts on that?
You know,
livable wage.
You know, we're the richest, the most expensive country in the Caribbean, put it that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Bahamas. It's literally the most expensive country in the Caribbean. They say that it has the highest GDP because, again, they take the wealth of the rich people and mm-hmm. divide it by the population, and right. it looks like the average Bahamian is making around $35,000 a year.
Right, which is a joke.
But do the math.
Yeah.
But do the math. If you got $250 a week, that doesn't equal $35,000 a year.
No. Nowhere on the planet. No.
That's all the billionaires divided by the population get mm-hmm. to the 35,000. So
mm-hmm.
so the masses doesn't have the money, but to discuss livable wages, man, you almost need a distribution of a redistribution of wealth in the Bahamas. You know, there's so many different layers that need to be changed, but to get there, how the government operates to even get to that point.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's pretty deep.
Yeah, it is deep, and I just, for me, even though that would be a wonderful thing, I wouldn't spend my time running behind the government to give a livable wage as much as I would say, let's bring the cost of living down. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's the same. Yeah, you bring the taxes down.
Yeah.
You get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell these business owners, listen, I'm gonna reduce the port duties, and I better see immediately reduction in.
Yes. That seems like that's more realistic. Yeah.
If not, we're gonna have a problem. I'm gonna be pulling licenses and shutting some of you all down.
Yeah. That.
Or I'll allow my people to go to the U.S. and let them shop duty free, and they can bring all of America back if you're the one to reduce the prices locally.
Yeah.
Because the government shouldn't be in positionism because we don't produce nothing.
That's exactly. Tariffs and taxes is when you protect an industry is when you protect
exactly.
I'm with you 100%.
I'm protecting stores in the Bahamas who's selling American products.
Right, they're going to go shop and then come back and sell it to us at a higher price. That's what we're protecting. Let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. I'm going to run to the text line. Caller, you're live.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Dr. A.J. Wama.
No, this is Dr. Tinker today. Dr. Tinker.
Mr. Tinker, or the man who loves to think.
Yeah.
To think. Yeah, listen, man, I just wanted to throw this in there. I just came and I was listening for the past maybe 20 minutes. But, you know, poverty will always exist. And so one of the eugenic ideal and concepts that most literature coming out of the eugenics office is one of the ways to deal with the poor is to get rid of the poor. But you have to do it euphemistically and you have to make it look like you're kind of humanitarian works. You have to be in disguise. This is their concept coming from their literature, and I like the food.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to say, us as black people, we are being duped. We are Hollywood. I call it Hollywood. We are being absorbed by consumerism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so one of the ways to fight against poverty is to avoid consumerism. You know, when you carry your children out to the mall, they see all of these different toys and everything that they see on TV, et cetera, even if it relates to the food industry, the fast food industry, et cetera, we see the impositions. And so this is a part of our poverty, because we conform to all of the holidays that you were saying that we really shouldn't be celebrating, European-centric. So we are being kidnapped, decolonizing or recolonizing the mind, I think both.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I see it. But what I'd appreciate for you, Uncle, is one of these days, you know, I just really dwelled deeply into a book of Enoch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's amazing that what Enoch was talking about actually is happening today, but they hid the book and said it was lost. The coin was tossed. But please,
okay.
Please, I don't want to change the, you know what I mean?
No, I got you. I got you.
We need to recolonize our mind.
Next week, we can jump on that.
The hell with politics.
Yeah, got you, my brother. That's all good, brother. 52. What do you want to say, Dr. Dinko?
You see, you know, what low wages and the poverty and the basically decimation of almost the middle class and low wages have done in the Bahamas, it has really created something called the black market.
Right.
It's created a huge black market in the Bahamas. And,
mm-hmm.
and when I say black market, I mean people, not everybody, are willing to do additional things to make additional money.
That's true.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
you go to the bank to get something done. If you pass a 20 or 50, you can get done faster.
Mm-hmm.
You go to get your driver's license. You pass on 20 or 50, you get license mm-hmm. faster.
I got a old song, tip, tip, tip. Everybody,
yeah,
tip,
tip, tip. Tip. Yeah. You know, and this is another economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but in this other economy, that the main economy wants to make the country better, you can't have two economies running at the same time.
Wow.
Because one creates corruption,
mm-hmm.
which is this black market economy. Because
mm-hmm.
people are bypassing the law, doing different things to make the ends meet that they cannot make in the legitimate economy.
And the government can't tax that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have throughout the Bahamas, whether it's U.S. whether it's Bahamian customs letting things in unchecked to make some extra money, whether it's the police looking the other way, or whether it's people working in public services looking the other way, or whatever the case might be, people in the private sector undercutting things to make a little extra. But it's all over. It's rampant.
Yeah. It's a way of life at this point.
It's a way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Call you live.
Dr. Enos.
How are you, Professor?
I'm doing well. Dr. Tinker, I hope you're doing well as also.
Yes.
Good, man.
Yeah, okay. I was listening to the show, and the thing is that we do have separation of powers in our Constitution. However, mm-hmm. if you look at the results of the last two elections, mm-hmm. what is the electorate saying to us mm-hmm. or to the nation? You had 35 and 4, 35 in favor of one party, 4 in the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And in the very next election, you had the same one that had the 4 now got 32 seats, mm-hmm. and the one had the 35 got 7. What is the electorate saying? Now, you will understand that when you look from 1968 right on up to the present, there has been an overlapping in the sense that a particular political party has had a massive landslide of seats.
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamian electorate has been doing that from 68 right on up to now.
Mm-hmm.
What has been happening is you have party personalities, parliamentary seats, but not performing parliamentary functions.
Mm.
It's just like you go to St. Barnabas Church, but you work the BTC. You don't go to St. Barnabas Church on a Monday morning at 9 o'clock. You go to BTC. You go to St. Barnabas Church 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. You've been doing that for years, and there's no mistake about that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the people of this country do not understand true parliamentary democracy. They do not understand
we agree with that.
What a parliament
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm. Help us, help us, help us.
The point is, a parliamentary representative,
mm-hmm.
even though he may be affiliated with a particular political party, that's a different kettle of fish altogether,
mm.
he is supposed to deal with the issues that affect the people in that particular constituency.
Or everybody, no matter how you voted.
Pardon?
Everybody, no matter his constituency or her constituency, they're supposed to help you. They're supposed to deal with your issue, correct?
But is that happening?
That's why I asked him.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because I've asked a question mm-hmm. from July the 8th of last year,
mm-hmm.
2024.
Mm-hmm.
What major constituency problems have been solved in our constituency, and here are the clear-cut benefits that come to your constituency as a result of those major constituency problems having been solved? Not one single person
Hmm.
has been able to answer that question.
Wow. Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, you are sending people to the House of Assembly for what? To do what?
Yeah.
Just for buying a chicken or to pay some rum? Is that what it's all about? You get these cheap trinkets before the particular personality is even sworn in
mm-hmm.
as the representative of that particular constituency.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up, well, the fella just changed his numbers on. You can't get him no more. So the point is, we have to understand the particular personality or the candidates who are running in that particular constituency. Where do they stand? Is the person a homosexual? Is the person a lesbian? Is the person an adulterer? What about the morality of these people?
Mm.
What about the character of these people?
Mm.
We're not even looking at character.
Mm. Wow.
And so that poses a problem because the constituents themselves are not even coming together, organizing themselves and telling these fellas, now listen, this is what we would like to see in our constituency. Everybody, not everybody, but some of them, too many of them in fact, go after a particular personality looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
For their personal self,
mm-hmm.
nothing for the constituency, improvement of the lifestyle. We got all this junk in the constituency. We got poor lighting. You see it all over New Providence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So black in the night, you can hardly see where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
You have crime in your community. That's not been solved.
Mm-hmm.
You got unemployment in your community. You got broken families in your community. You got people killing one another in your community. So what's going on there? Where's your protection when you go out? The boy sitting in his own house, mm-hmm. minding his own business, and bullets come flying right through the wall
That's
and
right.
strike the fella in his head.
Doing homework, that's right.
Where is his protection?
Yeah.
The government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has ability to protect the interests of the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. They got the police force, they got the defense force, they got this, they got that. We spend millions and millions and millions of dollars a year for what purpose are we paying these people? The Bahamian people need to get to understand what it is that you want from the government of the Bahamas and what is it you expect from your representative. Because we're not getting parliamentary representatives. We're not getting that.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question,
Gola. We have people sitting in these seats, but they are political personalities from a particular party, but there is no progress on the ground in seeing constituency problems solved. And let me say this before I close. Mm. At the national level, what may have been solved by the government of the Bahamas over the last 4 years, and here are the clear-cut benefits that come to the Bahamian people as a result of these major national problems having been solved. I ain't got an answer on that yet.
And let me ask you before you go.
July 8, 2024.
And I'm glad I keep asking it because that's an important question.
No, they are important questions. Yeah. And that is, and Mr. Holt, let me just make
And then I want to ask you a question before you go, but go ahead. I want to ask
you want to ask me a question, problem.
Yeah.
But the point is, when you tell me you're grading your MP, A, B, C, D, that's crap. What he has achieved, did he solve any major constituency problems? Has the government of Bahamas solved any major national problems? And here are the clear-cut benefits that you are now enjoying.
Right.
You could ask the question.
So you raise a very important
point.
You raise a very important point. You say we don't even look at the character of these people. We don't even get to choose them because we're not in the political. We're not a card-carrying member of these parties. So
That's a valid point. But there's an alternative to that, too.
That's what I wanted to ask you. What would be the alternative?
That's the point. There's nothing in the Constitution that stops the constituents from choosing their own person. Nothing whatsoever.
Really?
There's nothing stopping them from organizing themselves, finding an appropriate person to be their representative in that particular constituency in the House of Assembly.
What? The Constitution allows us to do that?
Pardon?
The Constitution allows us to do that?
Oh, yes, you can.
Wow.
Article
24.1.
Article 24.1.
Wow.
To protect your interests. When a government or a representative decides they aren't interested in you, you say, no problem. We can handle this ourselves. You just don't vote for them anymore.
You could put your own candidate together as a constituency.
Of course you can.
Wow.
You can. And the point is, this is why I have said to constituents, if you're not sure how to organize yourselves, you ask and you can get the answer.
Man, I appreciate that answer so much. We got our show on that. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
Professor.
Okay. Thank you very much. All pleasant day.
Yes, sir. Dr. Tinker, what say you?
No, what he's saying is right, but let me catch the last part before I forget.
Yeah,
anybody could run. It has always been displayed. That's what an independent candidate is.
Okay.
You don't have to be in a political party for run for office. But many people in the independent seats running, a lot of them get their money back because they can't even get their own vote.
They don't even
get their own vote.
But
basically what he's saying, right? He's saying basically, if you follow the way the parliamentary system supposed to work, it's good. But in this system, then it's horrible.
Yeah.
And that's what, that's the fusion we have. That's the fusion I have with him that he's not getting. You have a system here. It can work on face value, but this same system is designed to work to the contrary. Because you don't have checks and balance.
Okay.
Now, I mentioned separation of power, which you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing now is checks and balance. You don't have a checks and balance system.
Okay.
Where the judicial branch can check the prime minister, the executive branch can check the judicial branch, but he can. So the only person can check everybody is the PM.
Wow.
Nobody can check the PM.
Wow.
It's a one-way system.
The phone lines are all lit up. Let me just run to the text right quick.
Take it, man.
Yeah, man. Let me just run to these texts right quick. Good day. Hard for the freedom of information, but according to government, they have us as foolish, offline ignorance. Think about it. They have us as fools, but to think about, they ain't wrong because we keep voting for the same thing. So this text is saying we just fools for keep voting for the same thing. Let me get to this text before I go to the break. There are at least 55 countries that use first-past-the-post voting, including many that we aspire to emulate. So this system is not unique to the Bahamas. This does not indicate a weakness in our governance. Instead, the real issue lies in the lack of education about our system. All right, texters, I'm going to take some more texts when we come back. Callers, hold on. We're going to run to a quick break and be right back with our special guest, Dr. Tinker. We're talking Rum Shop Politics, the second edition, back after this.
Get ready to swing for a cause. The 4th Annual Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, brought to you by Cleft of the Rock Foundation in proud partnership with the Bahamar Foundation. Join us on Sunday, October 5th at the world-class Royal Blue Golf Course at Bahamar in Nassau, the Bahamas, for a day of championship golf, community, and impact. This isn't just another tournament. It's a chance to change lives. Every putt, every drive, every swing supports programs like Parenting on Purpose and Disciplines for Life, empowering families across the Bahamas with education, awareness, and hope. Don't miss this unforgettable event, the 4th Annual Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, October 5th. To register or learn more, visit cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email foundation@gmail.com.
Don't settle for ordinary when you can have the Farmhouse King, only at Burger King Nassau.
It's back!
Mm-hmm. Sink your teeth into 100% flame-grilled beef, bacon, melty American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and the bold sauce that adds the perfect kick for a flavor sensation fit for a king. Grab the Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or go all in with the Farmhouse King's Feast. It's bigger, it's better, and it's only at Burger King Nassau.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit chicchanichallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back here on Guardian Radio today. Duenius III, also known as Kahunan Kusara. Special guest today, Dr. Rudolph Tinker. Man, these phone lines are lit up. Let's run straight to the phone lines. Call you live here on Guardian Radio today.
Yeah, good day, Uncle.
How you doing?
Good day to Mr. Tinker, the Tinker of 52 Caller. he mentioned earlier, I started to listen around the time when he said that once the law is passed in Parliament, it's considered good law, as most people would say, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got an issue with the Bahamas Nationality Act.
Okay.
Because the word invalid says that anything that impairs a regulation that is in contravention of any rule, regulation, or law makes it invalid. Now, items 4, 5, 6, and 9 of the Bahamas Nationality Act passed before the 10th of July, 1973, was in contravention of the constitution at that time. What do you have to say about that, Mr. Tinko?
So, if something is deemed invalid in the constitution, it takes the judicial branch, which is supposed to have the power of interpretation, to interpret what was passed to be invalid, to be unconstitutional. So if they didn't do it and make it unconstitutional, the ball drops on them, because that's their sphere of checks and balance system. They're the ones that look at the law and look at what was passed and look at the Constitution to see where does it fit. So if they interpret it and they don't consider it to be invalid or unconstitutional, then it stands.
But we are under a constitution that came into effect on the 10th of July, 1973. So what you're saying is, for 52 years plus, they have adopted, and they call themselves King's Council and Queen's Council, from the head office, the Minister of National Security, I think maybe the Minister of Immigration, and this issue of Bahamas Nationality Act is dealing with immigration and citizenship of this country. And what it is, them being in Parliament, don't see it the way it is said, that those items make that law passes, the Bahamas Nationality Act, invalid?
Yeah, you'd be surprised, man. People just they just go with the. Some of them just if they don't see an urgency to change something, they don't do it unless the people bring it.
Ah, that's what I was waiting to hear. You know,
speaking of it, and it's obvious, something passed on the 5th was in contravention of the Constitution regulation. That in law it says when something is done, proscribed. That means it's forbidden by law. And if it's done, and the word verboten means it's forbidden by authority. The Constitution was the authority and the law at that time. So
the only thing you would have to do is basically you could petition the government. You have the right to petition. You could petition this via an argument. But in many cases, commoners, regular citizens can't take themselves into the system. So you need to get a lawyer. So if you got a lawyer that specializes in public law, then he could actually petition the government and make a point that this is invalid, and then you could create a change through an amendment.
When was it? Not last week, but week before last. Marlon Johnson brought up the issue that we have a royal opposition, and he can go and go in Parliament.
He can do that also.
And he can go there and move a private member's bill, right, in Parliament on the issue, so that they will have to deal with it.
Yeah.
That makes sense to you?
Yeah, he can do that. But again, you know, that's if it comes up on their importance to do it.
Yeah, my question would be, can your MP, they in the House?
Yeah, you could. That's the power. The Constitution gives you the right to petition the government, and it starts through an MP. He would have to take it to the floor.
That's yeah.
Signatures. He takes it to the floor, and if the majority of the people in Parliament can approve it, then it can move along. But there's a good chance if they're not interested, it's not going to go anywhere.
So that will speak against those that vote against a private member's bill at this time, if they want to address this issue and be in election mode. So Michael Pintat, my classmate, you know, 52, help me with this. You need to go there and let our other classmate, Maj Rota, and them put themselves on the spot, because you all want to be reelected. Let's deal with this thing, because every day the newspapers are filled up with these people applying for citizenship, and we know it's in contravention of the constitution of even the country to the south called Haiti. So that's what I want to bring out today and for the Bahamian people to think about.
Thank you so much.
It's a serious issue.
Yes, indeed.
All right?
Yes, indeed. Caller, you're live on Guardian Radio today. Thank you. Thank you so much for those thoughts, caller. Caller, you're live.
Hi, good afternoon, brother Uncle. Good afternoon to your guests as well.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Hey, so I really wanted to touch on the call that I called before the break. Just but first of all, just say thank you to him for explaining the process out and identifying the core issue we face in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And that being that our voters are not very clear on what it is our parliamentary democracy should actually be working to accommodate.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I also want him to give grief or grievance to the leaders in our country that have worked basically since the 1960s to bastardize our system to the point to understand how our system mm-hmm. should actually work.
Mm-hmm.
So he spoke in just about the issues we face from persons not knowing what their representatives should be doing, mm-hmm. but that's all because the parties have bastardized the process.
Mm-hmm. It's not happening in a vacuum. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, so I just really wanted, well, I wish he could call back and go into detail on that portion of it so persons could understand the difference between what a representative should be doing and what an MP should be doing. And this is why I keep pushing for the idea that we may need to move to a republic, because clearly our people don't understand what parliamentary democracy actually entails and what should be done under that system.
I've explicitly explained that, but what I'm trying to say is...
Sorry, not like you, not you. It's like the break.
Right, I understand what he said, but what I'm trying to say is his position is what it should be like. My position is a realist position.
What it is.
This, it can't be that. It could be that way, but it's not that way. It's not even that way in the United Kingdom that created it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because there's too many loopholes in the system where you could sway the system to work the way the 50+1 winner wants it to work. For example, the Constitution says, yeah, you could pick whoever you want to run for office. You could have the entire constituency running for office. But the one who wins the most votes in the constituency will win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Will win. Now, that person who wins, if he wins under an independent banner, he goes there with his own agenda. If he wins under a political party banner, he's going there under the political party banner manifesto. Forget everything he just told you that he was going to do.
Exactly.
Because now he has a new set of rules to follow.
Right.
And that's why these guys can't get what they said that they were going to do, because the manifesto trumps what you really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. And then when we really look at it, do they really give these guys any sort of money to fix a constituency? What is $100,000?
For a constituency.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do for your constituency? Buy everybody ice cream and a lollipop?
Yeah.
You guys are be joking.
But see, that's why it's so critical for us to have something like local government.
Mm.
So we already understand the failures of the parliamentary democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So why not work around that system, do away with the parliamentary democracy, allow more power to local government so persons can have people in their constituencies working for them daily.
Mm. My role and they would have to change the tax system where a portion of the revenue goes, whatever goes to the constituency. The constituency is raising revenue via commercial business or tax collection or property tax back into the constituency to fix their own thing. But I don't see these guys shifting at any time soon, because they're monopolizing their own projects and their own legacy.
Well, that's more important
than the other thing, you know?
And that's where the education needs to take place. Thank you, Uncle, for taking my call.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that contribution. Let's run to the next caller. Call you live.
Uncle, I had to call back.
Listen,
to the previous caller,
mm-hmm.
and also to the conversation that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of things we have to consider here.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, the Constitution, when written, in my humble view, was only simply a roadmap, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A starting point.
Mm-hmm.
It is said that the Constitution is a living document.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had learned people, this is why it's so important that many of us have spoken to the mere fact that the Constitution is not being taught in our schools for the next generation to understand the system, because perhaps they would be the crux to begin to change it in our current system,
mm-hmm.
especially if we educate them to what the Constitution is all about. Secondly, we well know that persons are benefiting from the Constitution in the manner that it is. That's why it's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to change this.
Mm-hmm.
Because
and then if you look at it, right, if you look at when, since it was enacted, there has been no real change to the Constitution.
Exactly.
It hasn't really been amended.
And it's no accident, sir. This is all intentional. They don't intend to change the Constitution because of the known loopholes in the Constitution. This is why our people won't advance in this country. They'll have it all, will continue to have it all. Mm-hmm. The rest of us will be right here for the next few generations talking the same thing because we don't have bold statesmen who are to changing our system and changing our country to a prosperous nation. Mm-hmm. There's no way you could tell me that this is all an accident. This is no accident. My final point.
Not at all.
Mia Mudley, mm-hmm. listen, I admire that woman and what she's doing as a prime minister of her country.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us here in the Bahamas, looking all around the world and be recognizing the movers and the shakers that's really doing something for their people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the little trinkets that's being handed out here in this country, it is totally ridiculous. If we continue to sit here and believe that these persons are really working in our best interest, they are not.
Mm.
And that's all I can say on this. We have, we as Bahamians, the power is in our hands.
Yes.
The power is in the hands of the people.
He's absolutely right. And I was going to bring this up talking about, you know, major constitutional amendments. I mean, when you look at the freedoms of the people and addressing certain things in this document since it was created, it hasn't been done. I mean, in the early 2000s, what they did do, if I can recall, was something, the parliamentary commissioner that was passed into law.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, maybe 10 years or more later, they had the gender inequality, which was rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And all on how government works and how people hold the government feet to the fire or the judicial system has not been tweaked. Now, when you look at your counterpart, the United States, before the Constitution was written, I mean, when it was written, sorry, after it was written, before the 13 colonies accepted that document, it was ratified 10 times before they accepted the document.
Yes, yes.
Because, which is known today as the Bill of Rights,
mm-hmm.
and the reason it was ratified is because you got to remember, who were they getting independence from? They were getting independence
yep.
from England.
Yep.
England had a king. So the Americans, they hated the UK.
Mm-hmm.
They hated everything about the UK.
Right.
So they made a document where their new government will not be anything like a king
mm-hmm.
or a prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it, Amendment 1, freedom of speech, and there's multiple parts of Amendment 1.
Mm-hmm.
Amendment 2, the rights to bear arms, because mm-hmm. that's how they got independence, because the locals
mm-hmm.
had weapons.
Mm-hmm.
In England, it's illegal to have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said, hey, the Fourth Amendment, the freedom of illegal searches and seizures. Back then, during those days, under the law of the king, he can come in your house. Hey, with the writ of the king, I'm here to search.
Mm.
The U.S. says, no.
Ain't having it.
That. You need a warrant.
Yes.
You need a warrant signed by a judge with probable cause so you can enter.
Right.
And one of the most fundamental things that is so flawed in the Bahamian Constitution is the criminal justice process in the U.S. because they hated the U.K. so much, is the right to a speedy trial.
Mm-hmm.
If you get arrested today, you got to go before a judge within 48 hours or that case is dismissed.
Mm.
In the Bahamas, you can get arrested today.
Well, they got about 4 years. 4 years later, he ain't had no case yet.
That is a violation mm-hmm. of your rights.
Mm-hmm.
As a human, how could I lock you up for 5, 6, 10 years
mm-hmm.
and then go figure out if you really committed the crime and then come back and tell you, well, okay, we think you committed this crime, now let's move forward. It's insane.
Yeah.
Because under this document, it says that the judicial process will take your case or process your case in something known as a reasonable time.
Mm-hmm.
Reasonableness is not defined in the Bahamian Constitution.
Mm.
What does reasonable mean?
Right.
Tomorrow? Next year? 5, 10 years? No. In the U.S. criminal justice system, it says you got arrested today, you got 48 hours to see a judge. If not, case is out of the door.
Boom. That's
right. And this is what our founding fathers did not do to this document. They never challenged it so it could benefit the new Bahamas. They took it hook, line, sinker, and a click.
they were just trying to run from the UBB. That's right. Let's run to this next caller here on Guardian Radio today. Caller, you're live.
Yeah, Brother Uncle.
Hey.
I called back because I was thinking of the Governor General, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Governor General should have should be there in order to direct the parliament. Mm. Okay? If the parliament are going contrary, the governor general should be the person to direct them in the right path.
No authority. You can't have two head of states.
Say it again?
The governor general has no authority. We got to get that through our heads. The governor general is a puppet position appointed by the prime minister to represent the queen. That position has no authority.
That's my point. So what he or she should be doing is have the intelligence in order to direct them in the path in which they should be going for the Bahamian people.
There will be a conflict with the prime minister. It'll be a conflict. That wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't be a conflict. All they have to do is put it in law.
You can't have two head of states. Only one person can be the chief. You can't have two chiefs.
The thing is, why is she there?
Because it's a constitutional monarch position. Just like the Queen of England.
The thing is, the king.
He has no authority. He's just there to kiss babies and wave.
What I am saying is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He or she are there by the authority, which would be the prime minister. Okay? But what should be happening, independent, whereby when she see the parties or the prime minister are going the wrong way, show him that he are going the wrong way and that's not the way the Bahamian people needs to be going.
I hear what you're saying, but when a position is appointed...
Thank you, Aldo. Mm-hmm.
When a position is appointed by the prime minister, and the prime minister could recall that position, you really think that person is going to go anti-prime minister?
No, they can't.
They can't. They won't drive in that car with the crown on it.
Yeah. You have
the door open for them.
Yeah.
Red carpet, sit on this throne like they're the king and queen of England. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I think, titles, man.
What we need to do next time we come together, Dr. Tinker, we need to reimagine. Because I think that's what the caller was trying to do, right? They're trying to reimagine what they would want to see the government be like. Of course, reality is reality. So you got to always deal with reality. But I think if we could reimagine what our government could look like, right? I even have a texter here who was piggybacking off of what the callers talked about, getting your own candidate in your constituency, right? This idea of an independent candidate. Versus, you know, like these things.
Look right now, sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Right in, what's that place called? The guy called Blue. What constituency is that?
I can't remember.
That's Freetown.
Freetown.
Mm-hmm. Look at it right there. He wanted to go to the F&M. F&M say no. So he say, hey, I can still run as an independent.
Look at Kalani. I just about to say, yeah. Yeah.
He's running as an independent.
Yeah.
So this was always there. But over the time, we've seen that independent candidates don't win. I think the last independent guy that won, I think it was Sir Randall Folks.
Maybe.
Sir Randall Folks, he won as an independent. And I think Sir Lyndon Pillen, he had the deciding vote on who he was going to give the majority of seats to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he gave it to Pillen, and I think he still got screwed over.
See, the thing with those examples are those people seem to have already had some political clout, whereby it didn't seem like a move of the constituency, right? It just seemed like they utilized this loophole to be able to be an independent candidate versus the constituency taking the time to learn the rules of the game and saying, this our man or this our woman of business. That's what we're not seeing, you see?
And it's so hard to see that when people are so bogged with crime,
mm-hmm.
with poverty, with working, with raising a family. It's, you know, that's why some people just live in their own world, man.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much to deal with.
Yeah. And that's...
You know, it's so much to deal with.
Yeah. And that's why these type of conversations people normally shy away from because, man, listen, I guess got too much to deal with. You know what I mean? But I appreciate you, Dr. Tinker, so much for being here with us. We can do it again very soon for part 3. the conversation. We can figure out what we can talk about, but I appreciate you taking the time. Any last words before we get out here?
You know, listen, I just like to say it's always a pleasure to come and spread some wisdom. You know, we don't need to knock anybody. This is about just expanding the knowledge and understanding. But at the end of the day, you can come and you can chit-chat and you can make all this noise. But what you going to do with the information?
Right.
How are you going to make yourself better with learning these different avenues that are at your disposal? Mm-hmm. But like I mentioned earlier, with society being so tough, with the cost of living being so hard, it's almost like you gotta give up some of your time to go out there and make a change. And anyone can make a change in any constituency. If you don't want the PLP candidate, the FNM candidate, the CIO candidate, or CIO, whatever they are,
mm-hmm. just, COI, mm-hmm.
just select your own candidate.
Yeah.
And run with it. But the problem is, and I'll close on this, when these people vote in that 5 years, that vote to them, not all of them, that means more than just, that can turn into a roof, a job, a favor. So they want something directly for that vote. And
yeah.
and that creates the problem of, well, yeah, I ain't running because I can't afford to run.
Yeah. And that's
I want to do the right thing, but I can't afford. I don't have money to feed all these people and open buy a tub and go buy plywood and paint people's houses. You see, so you can't have the cake
that's
and eat.
Yes.
Got to decide what you want to do.
That's
either
the culture.
You want real people to represent you, or you want people to give you something and then bamboozle you for 5 years.
You can't have both. You got to pick. Dexter says Whitney Bastian won as an independent as well. All right, thank you. Listen, we got to run.
All right, brother.
Z Live is next. Keep it locked here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. Namaste, family.